Joined now by Chris Brooks, who is with Francis Howe Families, was also the lead plaintiff in the lawsuit against Francis Howe School District when they said, you can mention some organizations and politically active groups, but you can't mention yours, Francis Howe Families. And so what's happened here, I know a lot of people are reporting us saying, hey, big win in court. Well, yeah, but it wasn't like, you know, the court hit the gavel and said, you win, you lose. There was an injunction. There was a settlement. And the school district has to acknowledge that, oh, yeah, that First Amendment's actually a thing that applies here, too. So Chris Brooks, from Francis Howe Families, joins us now. Chris, good talk to you again. Appreciate you taking a few minutes with us here today.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. How's it going?
Going well. Okay, so Institute for Free Speech worked with you all on this. So there is a settlement that's going to have to be paid out. And I saw, you know, a bunch of people who didn't bother to read the story on social media saying, well, that money, hopefully they donate it back to the schools. And basically they're trying to be angry that you actually held the school district accountable. But what the school district has to do is basically cover your legal fees, as I understand. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. None of the money is going to us. It's all going to the lawyers for the time that they put into working on the case. And even then, it's not their full rate. You know, the lawyers all have this negotiation thing going on during the settlement. And so the district insurance firm will be paying out some of the monies that are owed to the lawyers for their time.
Okay, I'm arguing that what happened with the injunction and with this agreement and with this settlement and everything that's been put into place is that, Chris, I think this is bigger than Francis Howe Families versus the Francis Howe School District. I think this is a much bigger message being sent to school districts around the country when it comes to trying to limit who's allowed to say what and control a narrative around the school district. When you saw the injunction, when you saw the school district says, okay, we give up, we're going to sign off on this, we're going to change, you know, the things that they're going to have to change, what's your reaction and what do you think the long-term effect's going to be on this?
Well, obviously, we're relieved to have this behind us. It's very frustrating to be told that you can't say certain things, and especially in a 3-minute speech in front of the board, to be able to not reference your outside website that has a lot more details. That's just really frustrating, not to mention running afoul of the First Amendment and Missouri's Constitution as well. So we're excited for that, partly because the policy that they used, saying that, you know, we were just advertising because our website accepts donations, is a model MSBA policy that's used in other districts in the area and around the state. And so this has implications for them as well, obviously. So other Missouri school districts can't say, well, you're not allowed to reference this because it could be advertising. And so that's great. When the Institute for Free Speech took the case initially, they said that they were amazed that this was a novel interpretation of policy. And that's why they thought it was so important to help us out here and take care of that, because if districts could just shut you down by claiming your speech was advertising, then there's a whole lot of shenanigans that they could do to keep people from expressing their opinions.
Good morning, Chris. Gabe Pfeiffer here. How goes the overall fight? You know, the fight to get more family control over their children and your education versus the school board's kind of tyrannical rule and some of the crazy things that they're trying to bring into our schools.
Yeah, you know, it's going pretty good at this point. We had a great victory this last April with our two candidates winning, and it was not close. You know, the number of votes separating them and the union-endorsed candidates was significant. It was over 1,500 votes per candidate. They actually got a majority of the votes in a six-person race, not just a plurality of the votes. And so we're really looking forward to this next race when we can elect three new board members next April. We're actively recruiting right now, so if people live in the district and they have interest in helping return control to the parents and get rid of some of the crazy stuff going on in the districts, then we're looking for dedicated people who are ready to run and make a difference.
Hey, good morning, Chris. This is Ken. Now that you can say Francis Howe Families, are you going to poke the bear a little bit maybe and say Francis Howe Families in every other sentence? I know that's what I would do.
You know, I thought about doing that. I already read the injunction in front of the board when we got the injunction from the court. We're not interested in revenge or poking them around. Our concern is substantive, real problems that are going on in the district, and we make sure that every one of our speeches when we go up there is something that we're really really concerned about and the board should be listening to. And then when the board ignores us, this just shows the community that those board members need to be replaced post-haste.
We are visiting with Chris Brooks from Francis Howe Families. All right, I want to follow up on what you just said a second ago, Chris, regarding, there were victories with two candidates who are going to be more in tune with what the community stands for, with obviously empowering parents versus the school district, which I hate that we're in a point and that's the reality of it. That should never be the way things are done. How is the progress when it comes to finding more good, solid parental, focused, child-focused candidates as opposed to more of the same establishment from the public education establishment? So how is it going when it comes to finding good candidates who are electable and getting them ready for a real campaign like you did last time? I mean, how's it looking when it comes to finding people to potentially win those three seats you just mentioned?
So we're still early in the campaign season, if you will, here. We've just started reaching out to people. We've already got some interest from individuals. You know, last year we probably had between 10 and 15 people that were interested, and we winnowed those candidates down to the two that we endorsed for the actual race. So I suspect we'll have at least that many this time around. But it's difficult, right? This is not a paid position. It's a volunteer job. It takes a lot of work for people. They have to become informed on the operations of the district and the ideology going on there and everything involved in actually making a difference. So this is not for someone that's just gonna, you know, fill a seat with a warm button and be that way. You got to be really to be active here, and so we're sure that we're going to have people. We're eagerly looking for people to come and talk to us, and we will go through an interview process that will help us select the best candidates, and then we'll put both our financial and our political resources behind them.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Once again, website, social media. Where do people learn more? Because even if they don't live in this district, Chris, I want people to look at what you all are doing, because this is needed in every public school district, not just around St. Louis, but frankly around Illinois, Missouri, and everywhere else. And you've got to engage in the process so you can get on the boards, work with the people who are there, even if we disagree. And if they're still wrong, we just vote them out.
Absolutely. And our website is francishowfamilies.org. We also have a Facebook page that you can contact us at as well. And that's really important, right? We organize as a PAC in order to be able to raise and spend money for our preferred candidates. This is somewhat unusual. Not very many PACs are focused on a particular school district, but it's a great way to organize, to pool your resources, to have an organization that people start listening to, and to build that credibility in the community so that people trust you, right, when you endorse your candidates.
Absolutely. All right, Chris, appreciate you being on the program. Congratulations on winning in this process. And I think this is going to have a much larger effect than just your school district.
All right, thanks. Great talking to you.
All right, Chris Brooks from Francis Howe Families. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to be active in the school districts and to take them on. They're doing it right.
And I like the way he said that they're going to be working hard. They don't have time to poke the bear, but I'd still poke it.
So if you see Ken Williams for school board, that's right. You know what you're going to get.
Know that I will be poking the bear.